All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2015. And this says before the first cup of Jules here on UCY.TV. Good morning, happy Monday. We know how much we hate Mondays. I hope everyone can hear me this morning. As soon as I went on air, Skype all of a sudden was having an issue connecting. But it looks like it's going through the equalizer, so I'm hoping everything's working out. Hey, we actually are having a heat wave here today. It says it is 25 degrees with light snow. That's probably about 20 degrees warmer than it has typically been over the last, 2 months or so. So it feels like a heat wave. It's amazing how wonderful 25 degrees can feel when you've been deprived of double digits for a long time. All right, so where are we going to go today? You know, it's interesting because I always have topics that I want to talk about, but then it seems that the topics find themselves, and it's because all of a sudden some dots start connecting all within the same 24 or 48 hour period that makes it very obvious what topic we need to hit on. So what I think we need to look at today is some of what is going on with net neutrality, and not net neutrality necessarily in specific, though we can, because no one seems to actually understand what net neutrality was supposed to be about. I've heard so many different stories, and the thing is, I was there. I mean, we've been fighting for net neutrality for, what, 15 years? They've been threatening to take it away or implement it. And so I want to kind of go over that and outline to you why some of the stories that you've been told, like big surprise, aren't necessarily the way you should be looking at the story. But also, that didn't take very long, because once this FCC vote went through, all kinds of things started happening, almost setting it up in the fast track. And this is not going to be good, just like I had mentioned. As far as the future of the internet, I think we're going to have some big problems, guys, and I see it coming already. So where do we start? Net neutrality, they passed 3-2, I believe it was, last week, and they passed this 350-some-odd page document. I don't even think it was a bill, because it wasn't in front of Congress. It was in front of the FCC board or whoever they are. Five people that weren't even elected. They were appointed. And they had this vote on net neutrality. And they passed it. Except no one in Congress got to read what they passed. And I don't know. We can see. I mean, even if I could find it right now, there won't be any way I could read all 300-plus pages on air. But there hadn't been, as of this weekend, a release of that document yet. I guess I'll find out after we get off air. But let's talk about net neutrality for a few minutes. So they spun it to the people, with little air quotes. They spun it to the people that it was good for you, that it was going to protect you against all those big cable providers out there, or big organizations who had money. It was going to protect you, little guy, so you could have internet. He could have internet. Everyone could have internet. And it doesn't matter how much you pay, you're not going to get preferential treatment. Okay. So one of the things that we forget is that internet has been pay internet for a long time. Back in the days of like Net Zero, early days of free dial-up, remember those? You could get a free 56K connection, or maybe, I think maybe when the 56K modems came out, Net Zero might have been like 33.6 dial-up offered for free. But whatever, I had like two or three free dial-up accounts. If one didn't work, I could get another one. You know, if they had issues at one, or it was full, or it was really slow, I had another account. Then with the advent of broadband, and when broadband first came out, it was very expensive. I remember thinking to myself, like, $50 a month for internet was just insane, especially when you're paying, like, your $12.95. And I eventually, before the free accounts came out, I think dial-up even ended up at, like, $9.95 a month. for a dial-up account, $50 was a lot. And as obviously cable became more prevalent, broadband became prevalent, cell phones, 4G, you know, the price dropped considerably. There was competition and the technology was out there. But until that point, it still had been the Wild West. But the thing is, the more as they increased the technologies, as they upped the bandwidth, as they came out with new services, as they laid new fiber in your neighborhood, the speeds that they could offer got better. And when those speeds got better, typically the older package got jacked down $5 and the newer package came in at the top tier. So anyone trying to sell you that this net neutrality is going to stop them from charging you for priority access, let's say, we've been doing that since day one. We have been paying more for more bandwidth. You want a faster speed? Well, then it's going to cost you $10 more. You want to go from the 5 meg download to the 10 meg download? Well, that's $10.99 a month versus $5.99 a month or whatever. You want to go to the 20 meg download? Well, that's a $30 a month. We've always been paying for getting to the faster traffic lane, right? And that's what they're trying to tell us that this bill's going to protect us against. You know, they're like, well, big companies like Netflix can come in and they can suck up all the bandwidth. Well, here's the thing. By now demanding net neutrality, by thinking that we wanted net neutrality, so we've just given everyone equal access over the bandwidth on an internet or the bandwidth to an internet service provider, we've actually just screwed ourselves, because I'm going to tell you why. We talked about this a long time ago, and I did engineering at a corporate end for many years. So I was configuring engineering on paper, those big honking routers that somebody like your internet service provider has offering your community internet access. Each of those honking routers can go for $500,000 a piece. And depending on how big of an internet service provider you are, you could have a whole ton of routers. In that router, you have a bunch of cards. It's just like a computer, but it's instead of having to open the computer up, it's got all the card slots right on the front of the router itself, and they slide in and out. And on each of those cards, you have ports, so you can plug stuff in. So I could slide a, I don't know, maybe a 12-port card for some sort of access. Maybe it's fiber access to your home. And every slot in there might have a 12 or a 48 or a 96-port card that connects to single-strand or double-strand fiber, depending on how far away your house is, so your whole area could get fiber to the home. Each of those cards probably goes for like 150 Gs, I'd say, less price. And as we increase traffic on those lines, if that's a, you know, what the kind of service we're going to sell, it's going to cost me as the internet service provider every time I got to add another $150,000 card to that router. And what happens is, as when you have offenders on the internet that suck way more bandwidth than anyone else, but you don't pay anymore, broadband service is a shared service. It's like running on an old school hub. It's not like running in a switch service like DSL is, where every port gets dedicated bandwidth. And remember, when you get down to the hardware perspective of the box that's controlling, feeding the internet out to your neighborhood, that router itself has a maximum throughput or a maximum speed that it can pass a maximum amount of data at one time. You can't increase that. It's called the backbone. So once you've peaked your $500,000 router on megabits per second with traffic, well, that's a pretty useless piece of $500,000 hardware you got sitting there in your POP if your traffic keeps going up and up. So all I'm trying to say is they sold us net neutrality as like the little guy won. We won because they can't charge you for using more bandwidth. Well, yeah. You know what? When I started seeing Comcast and some of the shit they were doing where they were all of a sudden putting caps on everyone's data limit. I mean, I'm from the world of all you can eat buffet internet. You know what I mean? So to see this whole Comcast thing and this looming takeover by Comcast, it was pretty frightening to me. I don't want any data cap. I'm quite the consumer. On the flip side, if I were the internet service provider and you had a large company like, say, Netflix, who offers a large library of streaming content, or even YouTube, let's say, that's ever growing and your base is growing, and all it's going to cost you as a consumer is $7 a month to get the service, Netflix has a big fat pipe connected to the internet service provider, so they're paying for the bandwidth. Excuse me. But the problem is that under net neutrality, now Netflix, with their big gigabit backbone, has just an e as much of an equal right to suck bandwidth than you do. Now, without net neutrality, internet service providers like Comcast were going, ho, back the truck up there, Comcast. You got this big ass gigabit connection. You're paying me whatever, you're $99 a month for access, me, Comcast. And you are sucking endless amounts of data, and it's pegging out my routers, and now all my other customers are bitching, and I gotta upgrade my hardware, Netflix. So guess what? You want priority access to my Comcast backbone? Well, you're gonna have to pay me 10 times as much, because guess what? To support all your traffic, I now have to go spend $500,000 and buy another router to support your exponential growth. And your $99 a month fee that you're paying me for your basic internet access isn't going to cover that for me. So you got to up what you pay me. Now, that is the scenario that before this FCC ruling, that's what they were crying about. Netflix was crying that they didn't want Comcast or Time Warner or CenturyLink or any of these other big cable providers or internet providers to charge them more money to get faster lanes and bigger bandwidth and priority access. Now, I say bullshit. You know what? If you're a big fat company making profit by sucking the internet, somebody's got to pay for that internet infrastructure that's sitting at the core internet service provider. And I know you're thinking, well, screw them. They probably make tons of money on that. Guys, I'm telling you, they're at least $500,000 routers. And they're extremely complicated. And if you have a 24/7 operation that's that size with thousands of subscribers, you're going to have a pretty freaking hefty, technically savvy, and credentialed at least one technician on staff. They get 100K, 150K, 180K a year. And then if you got techs on top of that to go do home fixing, that's extremely expensive. So having someone like Netflix, and I'm not picking on Netflix, there's all kinds of other streaming internet services, YouTube, let's say, let's pick another one, Any type of streaming audio and video in HD is gonna suck huge amounts of bandwidth. And as this continues, every day, the bandwidth suck on the internet service provider gets bigger. So how long is your honking $500,000 router gonna last at that level? So my take on this whole net neutrality thing, and this is just the basics, this is just the shit they've been selling us for 15 years, and my take on it. My take on this is that the free market was doing just fucking fine. We did not need federal infiltration into the internet. Hey, you want more bandwidth? You pay for it. That's how it works. Free economy. And if you don't like your internet service provider, then go get another one. There's enough competition out there. We didn't need infiltration, but now, they got their dirty fingers in the doors. Their fingernails are bloody, but they're in there. Now let's back up the truck to last year, maybe even the year before, to when that Kathleen Sebelius disaster with the Obamacare joke of a freaking website came out. Who was that woman? She must have been somebody's aunt or something, because she was just beyond clueless. And we've talked about the whole evil plan behind Obamacare, precision medicine, electronic health records, putting you in the database, $0 R&D budget line item for Big Pharma. That's just the newest arm to the U.S. biowarfare project. Oh, happy Monday. But that's beyond and outside of this conversation. We did about 5 or 6 weeks now on that stuff. Go to YouTube under the Before the First Cup playlist, and you can catch up on everything we've talked about. But when that fiasco happened with Kathleen Sebelius and the Obamacare website, something unusual happened in Washington. And I have been right in the middle of the tech world for 20 to 25 years now at a professional level. We lived, ate, and breathed Bill Gates back in the mid-90s, okay? Bill Gates was the second coming. Bill Gates hadn't turned evil yet. We did not see his agenda. Every single time, he was like, geeks of the world unite. That's the way we saw him. He was like the one guy that brought us all together and took these people who were always thought to be the weirdos in the basement and made us into something powerful. We were the people who understood what was happening and the paradigm shift and the going online and the beginnings of e-commerce and how to build a database and what security was about and how to format a hard drive. It was hard. And you know what? Same as today, the American public is stupid. So if you were the group that understood it all and knew all the tricks and how to get around, you were the group in power. And we were. He empowered us. And we helped him. We helped him bring all of this to life. But what was interesting about Bill Gates is that at the time, he would make the news and he was still the little geeky guy that ran that little company called Microsoft that, oh, came out with their new product that was a big consumer hit, Windows 95, because it had a dumb end user interface that the dumb Americans could figure out. That was when Windows pretty much went commercial. But every time I would see Bill Gates in the paper, there would be a photograph of him with some new world leader shaking hands. He's introducing Windows to Pakistan. Oh, even though the United States hasn't been to Egypt in 30 years, Bill Gates is shaking hands with the leader of Egypt, and they're going to roll out a school program with Windows on the desktop of every school child. You know, like, I mean, stories like that all over. And as a Geeks of the World Unite member, I used to get totally freaking stoked over that shit. I'd cut out those pictures, and in my cube, in my tech cube, I had pictures of Bill Gates meeting with world leaders all over. It was freaking great. It was like the United States government didn't have the capability to get into some of these countries, but Bill Gates sure did. And look at that. He got, instead of a chicken in every pot, he got a Windows computer on every desktop. Fast forward to the antitrust lawsuit. Microsoft is too big, said the feds. We need to break you up like we did Ma Bell. And Bill Gates fought tooth and nail, or at least he seemed to. He put on a good front. He had the contorted face every time he came out of the courtroom. I cut out those pictures too. And then one day, and I still remember the day, when Gates came out for the press conference, and he looked different. I'm telling you, he totally looked different. I remember the day as clear as my, I don't know, I don't even remember tomorrow half the time, but this day I do. I remember the look on his face. I remember the look in his eyes, and we were like, oh no, as he's saying that we've come to an agreement. That was the day, and who knows, did they, was this planned all along? Was this part? I mean, it almost seems like it was so perfect how Billy was like the good cop, bad cop, coming in under his philanthropy heading as part of this large corporation, but he was the dude in charge. That's how psychopaths work, by the way. A wolf in sheep's clothing. He snuck into all these countries that our government hadn't had relations with for 30 years and managed to get his devices ingrained in their society. So as he comes out for this antitrust lawsuit, and he's got this look on his face and this look in his eyes, and he tells us all that the fight is over. They've come to an agreement. They're not going to break up Microsoft, but we got to work with them. And that was the end of it. You know, that was when it came out that Windows had had back doors. You know it. I mean, you know he was grilled. I really would have loved to have seen. I don't know if that ever went public. I should find out from some friends that I know that archive shit tons of video if any of those proceedings ever came out public. I mean, that was from 95, so we really didn't have internet or streaming video much at that point. At all, but they got to be out there somewhere. But Bill Gates gave up the store. He bent over, he spread them wide, and he gave him all the backdoor keys. And that was when the world changed. Now let's fast forward to this net neutrality thing. So something that happened back during the Kathleen Sebelius fiasco with the Obamacare website. So I wanted to establish how closely I've been following technology, Bill Gates, technology leaders. Now, from that point forward, that was when I just was on the very front edge on the surfboard of riding technology from the beginning days of commercialism. I saw that. Never before did I see what I saw back when Sebelius's website disaster was going on, where Obama called all of the big tech CEOs to the White House. I said to turn the heat on. He called them to the White House. And I remember thinking to myself, well, now isn't that interesting? Didn't really say what they were talking about, but it was kind of about security. And then because the Obamacare website was so embarrassing, it comes out at the end that Obama asked Microsoft for help. Sebelius was deposed. I don't know who even took over that project, but Microsoft was supposed to be helping. Shortly thereafter, we learned about Microsoft Cyber Patrol. Remember that? They got this global organization. If I can find it, I know I got it in a favorite for UCY's YouTube somewhere way back. Oh, we're going to work with all the global agencies. You know, now that Microsoft, you know, we have software as a service. So really, you know, what are you going to do? You know, before it used to be Box Software made them lots of money. boxed operating systems, but now they're looking to push everything to the cloud. So, hey, guess what? It makes it easier to surveil if everything's in the cloud. And two, you don't have to pay for all those techs to maintain all your PCs at all your offices or wherever across the country. Because guess what? It's all done remotely now. And guess what? If it's all in the cloud, it could be done as a service. So anyone making $70,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year out there as a network administrator, go get in the unemployment line there, Jenny. It's coming. But Microsoft had to find a new way to generate revenue. Well, Microsoft had a special golden key waiting for them on the other end of the rainbow because of what Billy Gates did during the antitrust lawsuit where he spread them. They gave Microsoft the golden key. Hey, remember Microsoft? You showed us all the back doors. You allowed us to get surveillance into every machine, running Windows, everywhere. And that was just the beginning. Ha ha ha, diabolical laughter. Now, Microsoft, we're going to give you the golden key. You're going to be in charge of Cyber Patrol. You're going to bring together international alphabet agencies, local police departments, and wait, there's one more piece. The cherry on top, we can't tell you about it yet. Now, Obama meeting at the White House. Hacking, hacking, hacking. Holy shit, there's hacks everywhere. Our infrastructure, our computers, our banks. Oh, what? Microsoft's discontinuing support for XP? Yes. Oh, what? 95% of all banks have Windows XP still, but you're not providing any security patches anymore? No. Oh, one. I'm trying to remember how much. $1 billion plus hack on 100 plus international banks 2 weeks ago. You knew it was coming. And before that, remember, speaking of Cyber Patrol, a Cyber Patrol was created. There was no Cyber Patrol before. A Cyber Patrol was created under the NSA with General Keith Alexander. He was in charge of all of that. General Keith Alexander retired this past year. General Keith Alexander created his own cybersecurity firm. General Keith Alexander had approached J.P. Morgan Chase, went after some of the Wall Street moguls that they want to rein in, and said, hey, Wall Street, J.P. Morgan, guess what? Your bank. And you just might get hacked. And you can hire me for my expertise since I was the head of the NSA, since I was the orchestrator of the Cyber Patrol program. I know every nook and cranny, but it's going to cost you $1 million. And J.P. Morgan said, chuck you, Charlie. You're not coming in here for $1 million. We don't give a shit because we're not getting hacked. Well, right after that, whoops, J.P. Morgan gets hacked. And though, quote-unquote, it didn't expose any important customer information, it was the largest ever hack seen to date. Oh, my God. And you know how that, like, happens every single time? So they're trying to forward an agenda. So now let's fast forward. So we have this massive hack then that happens here 2 weeks ago or so for $1 billion at least, 100 international banks. Holy shit. Obama decides that this is a perfect time to put through an executive order. And that executive order says, hey, you know what? We need to have cooperation for security between the government and corporate America, because it's the only way we're going to keep the homeland safe. And corporate America's going, holy shit, we don't want the federal government in our back end. Holy shit, all of our records are private. We don't want them digging around in here. But corporate America, it's the only way for us to keep you safe, because your network administrators are sucky. You don't know how to maintain your networks. You don't know how to maintain your routers. And look, we got all these federal contractors out here that want to get into your business and charge you money and make you safe as we get our foot in your network to watch everything you're doing and surveil everything that's going on. But shh, we're not going to tell you that. Now, in the company that I used to work for, where we had a single owner who maybe wasn't necessarily, I don't know. Let's put it this way. He definitely did not want the federal government sniffing around in his affairs. I bet he shit in his pants, which kind of makes me laugh, actually. But I bet he shit in his pants. And how many other small businesses are shit in their pants right now? Because the federal government wants into your private network under the name of national security. And who profits from this? Well, fucking Keith Alexander, that's for sure. As I saw, he moved his new headquarters down to Charlotte, North Carolina, or South Carolina, from Washington, D.C. And he lowered his consulting fee from $1 million to like 600,000. Who else makes out on this? Oh, you know what, Microsoft, you're not selling box software and licensing much anymore because it's all online software as a service, $29.99 a month per user. But guess what? Microsoft Consulting for Security, Cyber Patrol Center, tracking real-time cyber attacks and alerting businesses in real time. Command and control. $39.99 a month, private company. We'll take care of all your security needs. So this executive order is saying to the business world of the United States, come be a part of us. We need you. You have to be a part of our infrastructure if we are going to save our children from jumping into pickup trucks and running off with ISIS. Now, that executive order was very, very quiet, at least from what I saw. I didn't see much of anyone pay attention to that in the middle of all the other distractions. And what followed that on its heels very shortly thereafter? Oh, boom! FCC ruling that now the government owns the internet. It is now under government regulation as a utility. And as such, what are a few things that I could guarantee you we're going to see in the near future? Well, number one, more taxes. Look at your phone bill. My phone bill, I get basic. I have nothing. I never even use my freaking phone. But I have it to have a landline if I ever need 911 with a kid. So it's $20 a month. But guess what? I pay $30 a month. And you know why? Because there's another $10 in freaking taxes on top of my $20 phone bill for a phone I don't use. Another thing I can guarantee you that we're going to get? Well, some sort of censorship. Now you think, Jewel, come on, censorship. It's the internet. Well, the FCC tells us on a terrestrial radio network that you can't say the word fuck. Indecent material. It's offending to others. You can get fined if you have a wardrobe malfunction on national TV. That's considered indecent exposure. Well, those are the same people that are imposing those rules on broadcast television and on terrestrial radio that have just taken over your beloved internet. How about the FCC comes after a broadcaster and sues the pants off of them, a terrestrial broadcaster, for breaking copyright law? Because one of the big film companies said that you might have had a tiny 10-second clip from their movie from 22 years ago in your intro bumper. I mean, I know people who've been sued by the FCC. It's the federale. They come after you. They take everything you got. Everything. They'll take your house. They take your bank account. They take your car. And they leave you with nothing. That's the agency that just took over the internet. So net neutrality, my ass. This isn't about fucking net neutrality. This is about taking over our last vestige of freedom of expression. And we've been talking these last 6 weeks about freedom over our own bodies, what goes in and what we're ingesting or breathing or being injected with against our will without our knowledge. Well, guys, the internet is next. And now the laws are in place to do whatever they want to do. Hey, what? They were, they had all these issues in the past with alphabet agencies going to an internet service provider and saying, we want records of X, Y, and Z. And a lot of time, I mean, this shit's been going on for a long time, of them demanding records of your internet service provider and your internet service provider going, fuck you, we're not giving you records. And then the federal government going, well, you don't give us records, we're going to fine you every day. And then there were some lawsuits and whatever. And it came down to, well, if law enforcement requests it, we have a department dedicated to that now at your internet service provider. And as long as you're not doing anything unlawful, you're safe. But if they come with us with a warrant, and remember now they have that like blanket warrant under the NDAA and the belligerent acts and whatever else. I mean, they can get whatever they want. But it pretty much has come to down now with the internet being declared a utility that internet service providers now work for the federal government. So how is that going to work out for you, the consumer? Before this ruling, internet service providers were just a corporation that was fighting for the pool of subscribers. And if you didn't like them, you told them to screw off and you went and found someone else. So they better have a good service. And they better offer it at a good price. And if your internet keeps dropping and it's shitty, then you're going to go to Verizon or T-Mobile and get a mobile internet. If you decide that you're sick of cable. Or, hey, you got a couple DSL providers out there, too. So it was free enterprise that was actually regulating the internet. And that's why it kept growing hand over fist. Now it's going to be stifled. And it's going to be stifled in many different ways. Not only are there going to be taxes, but I predict that they, under the guise of national security, are going to start censoring. I think, and, you know, here's something that everyone else missed. I don't know. I'm on a rant now, so I'm not going to look anything up. But ICANN, the organization that was that is responsible for domain names and holding those domain names and domain registration, ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, was held by the United States. The United States used to administer the ICANN program globally. Well, they don't anymore. It went into international hands now. And don't forget that back a year or two ago, they've already started from a UN perspective, developing this UN overarching plan for internet security. If you want to do business with us, and the United States did not sign up to this, but we've talked about this on way in the past shows. Let all these other countries around the world get in to this UN-based internet. And you know, I'm almost thinking that we didn't get in on it because it would have been too much. It would have caused too much kickback in the US if all of a sudden they found out that we were joining a UN security internet group. What they had to do was get control of our internet first. And now they've done that. So all these other countries, though, are in on this UN internet security thing. And they're working out the standards and how they're going to do business between the different countries and what type of encryption they're going to use when we do transactions and how the traffic's going to be passed and how it's going to be tracked. You know, they're setting the standards. That's what you do when you set a new standard. You got to come up with all that stuff. But the interesting thing is that all these countries that have already signed on to be part of this UN security plan for the internet are going to demand something from all the other businesses. Well, I mean, that's what we're being turned into. Our country is a business on the internet. All the other countries you do business with are going to have to conform to your standards to do business with you. So, Venezuela, or whoever, I don't remember who signed up, but you can look it up. If we want to do business with, say, if Venezuela was a part, then we're going to have to conform to those standards to do business with them. And what's even more interesting is that it seems that with all these global trade treaties that are being negotiated in silence as well, and privacy, these are the same countries that are part of this UN internet. I mean, honestly, guys, the bag is closing. They're pulling the drawstrings, and there's a tiny little hole of light up top. That's all I see left. So now, I don't want to get too off the topic. Let's take a look at some of the news that I caught yesterday. And I'm getting to the end here, but there were three stories that caught my attention. So now that I've laid 44 minutes of groundwork, all right. To get, not to be outdone by the NSA, the CIA has now announced that they are creating a cyber operations center. Hold on. Trying to load it. CIA bolsters cyber operations. Wow, nice. The page won't even load. Come on, Nelly. We might have to skip the. Ah, here we go. The Central Intelligence Agency is planning to join the growing list of U.S. intelligence and security agencies which have refined their mission to include cyber operation. And you know what? Now that they just got all of corporate America begrudgingly by inking an executive order to now make it a law that they all got to bend over and let the feds in, you better believe that the CIA wants in on this game. They all went in on this game because guess what? Now there aren't going to be any Senate subcommittee hearings with Clapper lying through his teeth to explain why they had all kinds of illegal access to networks and surveilling people. Because now, hey, just by connecting to the internet, you have agreed to the terms and conditions. And, you know, with the coming facial recognition biometric software that Intel's planning on integrating everywhere. And if you remember back a few years ago, what's his Zuckerberg sister? I don't remember her name, but she was part of FedBook at one time. She was quoted as saying that, well, their anonymity on the internet should be discontinued because who wants to be anonymous? That's where fucking terrorists hang out. Yeah, well, guess what, guys? It's kind of ended now. I mean, we had IP addresses and MAC addresses, so you can never really hide. Once they got your IP, even if it was a pool of IPs, they could go to the internet service provider and see all the addresses that IP's been at for a certain period of time. And once they tie it to the MAC address, well, you're done. That's your individual machine. That's a hard-burned, hard-coded in the EEPROM address that is just your machine, the only machine in the world. So they can get you. But using biometrics to log in, you're going to have to scan my face before you give me access now to your precious federally regulated internet. You're going to need my thumbprint. So everything I say, everything I do is going to go into my dossier that's in my cloud account so all the alphabet fucking agencies can look at it real time. Yeah, I guess that's exactly what it's going to be. So the CIA wants in, damn it. Current and former agency officials say the new effort will be part of the broadband restructuring of an intelligence service long defined by its human spy work. The shift also reflects the increasing role cyber plays in intelligence gathering, with allies and adversaries relying on smartphones, social media, and other technologies to communicate. Remember, they told us that the new war was going to be a cyber war. So the billions or trillions of dollars in bombs and weaponry and drone pilots that we trained, and drones, mind you, are now going to be spent on bastardizing the internet. We need hackers in our army, because our soldiers are all going to be robots and drones. So now let's repurpose. And actually, I had read something that was pretty messed up. Oh, this had to be 6 or 8 months ago, about some of these 3D virtual reality technologies that they've been working on. Of course, the Microsoft Kinect. And one of the things with the Kinect was that they were using it on soldiers. And they had literally, since most soldiers aren't cyber hacker supremes, they had to figure out a way to repurpose our soldiers from the field to the cyber war field. And so what they're doing, and we've talked about all this, using video games. So now these guys who grew up playing 3D first person video games, Command and Control, all war games and lots of real locations or flight sims or whatever, they just stick these former ground battle soldiers now into a big room with headphones and 3D Kinect goggles and their HD video game, except that the video game is modeled so that when they're running and they see an attacker, let's say, in their 3D goggles, and they pick out a grenade and they freaking launch it at them, what that translates into computer world is it literally launches a cyber attack on whatever problem target that actually was on the internet. So it's going to be like dumb end user hacker soldier that's going to be attacking us on the web. And I mean, I'm not kidding, people. I read some pretty in-depth articles in the technology that they are working on for that. They're going to repurpose our soldiers with dumb and user-friendly, sit there drooling in front of my keyboard soldiers that'll be able to cyber attack us, but not by being any type of smart guy knowing code, by being a dumbass that knows how to play a video game well. All right, so the CIA, I can't read all that because it's kind of a long article, but I can drop this in the chat when I'm done. But the CIA now is going to launch full-blown cyber operations. The NSA already has them. And remember, it was under Keith Alexander, and those are all the major branches of the military. He was in charge of all of it, not just the NSA. Keith Alexander was the cherry on top of the cake. And the fact that now Keith Alexander is in the private sector and Obama just sucked all those fuckers right into his plan. You and Microsoft. I mean, come on. This is just, like I said before, this is just too fucking perfect to have been happening by chance. This is a massive, massive, massive orchestrated plan, but be afraid, be very afraid. So you're on your knees begging us to save you because there's all these evil hackers. I mean, this is just, it is so transparent. And I can guarantee you that there are CEOs out there that are going, oh, shit, we need to start shredding records, Bessie. We need to close that account in the Cayman Islands. I know that there are private companies out there shitting their pants. All right. So this is the story that got my goat this morning. And maybe if I feel inspired tomorrow, we'll continue with this. But I don't know. I might get into something else. But I really wanted you guys to understand that this bullshit that they're selling you is not about making sure you on the internet get your 10 meg download speed. It's not. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing. You paid for that 10 meg download. You know, and there's free market. So your internet service provider's an asshole. Go find another one. Now, I know there were big concerns about the merger with Time Warner and Comcast, and I don't even know if that's going to happen, honestly. They're huge. That would be a large chunk of internet service owned by one big, huge company. But guess what? It would also be in the Fed's benefit. Because only two throats to choke that become one big throat to choke if there's a problem. Anyways, let's get to this last story. So another big internet behemoth that knows everything about you, Google. Google has announced that there may be a change in the way their search engine optimization algorithm for deciding where you are in the search rankings work. Google is considering putting itself in charge. Remember when Fukushima happened, Bill Clinton came out and said that we should have a ministry of truth on the internet. And remember, if you didn't see Fedbook, Facebook just came out and they now are marking stories that have parody websites like The Onion as parody and not wanting to feed them through the feeds because they're not real news. While Google is considering putting itself in charge now of online truth in order to assist users. Oh, yes, it's always to assist the users in the information of in the age of information overload. And remember, that's where that cognitive augmentation comes in the future. Google Glass inserted into your brain. Is we're going to help you deal with information overload. We're going to become your personal assistant. We're going to determine what's important to you. Don't you worry your pretty little head about it, because hell will take care of it. The web giant would rank search results based on a website's truth score, quote unquote, instead of how popular it is. And right now, it's like cross-links, backlinks, how many times people link into you, as well as your search terms and how you keyword it, that determine where you show up in a search engine. So if you have a lot of references out there, you have a lot of websites that link into your site that reference your articles, when somebody searches for Black Ops site in Chicago, hey, if you got the 10 million shares, your story's going to be at the top. Well, maybe not anymore. The search engine currently relies on a system that ranks websites based on how many times the page has been linked to, which means that even fake information, yes, those parody websites, oh, what? Or the fake information that alternative media puts out about, like, vaccines not being good for you? I mean, who's determining what's fake? Isn't fake subjective? Haven't we shown that even though the propaganda parrots parrot that something is one way, we can dig up 10 times more information to show that it's historically has not been, and there's good reason to be accusing them of lying some more? Absolutely. The search engine currently relies on a system that ranks websites based on how many times the page has been linked to, which means that even fake information has its way of making it up the chain of search results. Now, remember, in the beginning when Billy Clinton came out and said that we need to have some sort of agency checking the truth of articles on the internet, that was all in regards to Fukushima. Fukushima's not going on, eh? We're not talking about it on the news. Don't pay attention to that. What? Well, secrecy laws. It's coming. This is just another step, guys, and I knew it. This is right on the tails of this FCC ruling. Fucking Google's going to step up now and be an online truth department. Hello. How is this being allowed? According to a new scientist report, the new model developed by a Google research team would count the number of incorrect facts. Again, subjective term. Who's maintaining the database of correct facts? They're going to count the number of incorrect facts on each website to establish a, quote, knowledge-based trust score, unquote, for each site, which is an overall rating of website trustworthiness. Each score would be computed using Google's own Knowledge Vault, an automated database that identifies, quote, facts that the web unanimously agrees on, unquote, according to the media report. What about the people who are unanimously agreeing on the web? What if they're stupid, drooling, medicated sheeple that were polled? I don't know where they're pulling this information from. Websites that Google deems to have contradictory information from their knowledge vault would be ranked lower in the search results. The idea is still in prototype, and the system is currently offline. But hey, the news comes at a time when app developers are working on ways to verify all kinds of internet content, including mailboxes, web pages, and apps. Applications by cross-referencing online information with aggregates like PolitiFacts, FactCheck.org, and Snopes. And that should make you feel really safe. All right, guys, we are just about out of time, if you can believe it. It is Monday. We got a brand new Truth on the Tracks, a brand new recorded for us on Friday. Sorry, guys, I was just reading something. Brand new recording for us on Friday, United Front Radio, with Danielle and Kyle. Make sure you stick around. Nick and DB are on at 11 p.m. tonight. Monday is always a great night. We got Chuck O'Chelly in the 6 o'clock slot doing his rewind. So it's always a good day. All right, everyone, have an awesome Monday. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Take care.